Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. This is Thursday, July 3rd, 2014. And with me today is Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Oh, it's going great, especially when you do that timing just to make me happy.
You know, I mix it up every now and then just to see if you're paying attention. Yeah. Also, John Martellaro, how are you, John?
I am very good. It's great to be here again.
That's awesome. And I'm glad to have both of you. It's like just a big group hug thing happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to
not with Brian, please.
Oh, no, especially with Brian.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? It's not a party until I'm involved.
That's right. And you haven't been hugged until Brian's wrapped his arms right around you.
That's right.
So all right,
before we get off kilter.
Yeah, before we get off kilter, I want to say thanks to Terry, who is one of our listeners, and he happens to be a professor at a college, and he was listening to yesterday's show, John, where we were talking about the whole thing with the LA schools and the problems that instructors at all grade levels can have. And he said, we totally nailed it. That's exactly his life.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. So, well, awesome that we were able to resonate with Terry. Sorry, Terry, that you have to deal with those headaches at school.
Yeah, that part is less awesome, but his comment was awesome.
Yeah, so thank you for the comments. Also, if you people use the Twitters, we are on Twitter. I don't think I've mentioned this before. Daily Observations, we have our own Twitter handle, TMO Daily. So if you want to follow us there, please feel free. And I do pay attention to that Twitter stream, so if you talk to me, I will talk back. No kidding.
Word.
But yeah, up to 140 characters of word. All right, the first thing I wanted to take a look at today is a ruling that Judge Lucy Koh handed to Apple in a patent infringement case where this company that I just totally drew a blank on the name. It's like GNCP, I believe. They're suing Apple, saying that a patent that they hold on a two-way transmission system for pagers from the 90s is exactly what the iPhone is based on. And so they don't want to be called a patent troll. They're a company that holds patents and then goes to companies and says, pay us for a patent or we will sue you. And to me, that sounds a lot like patent troll. However, Judge Koh says Apple can't use the term patent troll in court. They also can't say extortionist and several other terms that could sound like patent troll.
Yeah, very, very prejudicial terms. And it's interesting because, first of all, that is what this company is. They are patent trolls. And it's just fascinating that Judge Koh would give them this little victory.
Yeah, I found it surprising too. The company they didn't want to have the jury prejudiced by hearing the term patent troll. Apple can say non-practicing entity, company that doesn't sell anything, company that doesn't make anything.
Well, and it doesn't it just kind of sound like it's a challenge for Apple to come up with a, you know.
Well,
like,
I think this is a dangerous thing because you're asking a very large, very financially capable, very inventive, creative company that's angry to come up with a term, a new term that says what the patent troll is doing without using the word patent troll. Apple might come up with something that is amazingly succinct, tells the story, doesn't violate Judge Koh's rules, but nails the basic issue.
This company is... It's like they're hiding under a bridge waiting to collect a fee from anybody who crosses.
There you go. Leave it to some imaginative lawyers to just nail it.
I was thinking scallywag, but...
Scallywag. I like that.
Yeah, but I like the idea of a scallywag waiting under a bridge to extort trolls from... Or not trolls, drat.
Oops. Fined.
See,
you're totally fined.
And this is why I'm not on Apple's legal team.
Right. It's the mere fact that you're not an attorney has nothing to do with it.
Hey, I played an attorney on stage.
I stand correct.
See? I could stand up there and say, these rapscallions, these scallywags, they have absconded with our money and...
All right, you're ready for the Renaissance Festival now, Jeff.
Yeah.
I see you on stage.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a great future for me there. Yeah. Okay, another thing on the names. There's a rumor that's out that Apple's going to call the next iPhone, the 5.5-inch, rumored 5.5-inch iPhone, the iPhone Air. And what I was about to say would totally change our rating on the iTunes store. We'd have to add an explicit tag. So instead, I will say, dag nabbit, I don't think that's real.
Why is that, Jeff? Because I kind of like it. I think I'm warming up to it minute by minute.
Well, then what that means is that I'm probably flat out wrong and Apple's going to call it the iPhone Air.
It's going to be the iPhone Air by Jeff.
Yeah. They're going to put my picture on every box.
Exactly.
And they're going to find a horrible, horrible picture to use. And,
well, yeah. The reason I'm thinking that is because this is a larger device than we're accustomed to. A lot of people still have 4Ss. They're accustomed to 3.5 and 4-inch screens. So this 5.5-inch display is going to feel like a monster. And so to the extent that Apple can characterize it as thin and airy, it takes some of the angle off of the idea that it's big and obnoxious and hard
to handle. John, you are the most romantic scientist I have ever met.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks. Right?
Well, thank you. Well, that's why I'm warming up to the idea.
Yeah, I think it's balderdash. I mean, the reason to call it the Air is because the large iPad is called the Air. The end.
Yeah. Well, no, you're trying to couch it. You're trying to create a mental image on the part of the person. Yeah, it's got a big screen, but that's good. And it's light, and it's airy, and it's thin, but the big screen is good.
No, the big screen's going to be too big. I can barely hold an iPhone 5S in one hand.
I'll have to admit, when it comes down to choosing one, I will probably personally choose the 4.7. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't care for the idea of carrying around a 5.5-inch device in my pocket.
I'm with you, Brian.
But it is clear that there is a large segment of the market that does. You know, the only money that anyone in the Android industry makes is selling these large devices.
How are people carrying these things around? I've been using an oversized belt holster because I try a lot of different cases on my iPhone 5S, and sometimes it makes them a little bigger. So I've got this oversized case that was designed for Android phones and fits it on my holster. But I know a lot of people put the phone just, you know, in their pants pocket, either the front or the back.
Yeah, you're the guy that wears a holster.
John, yeah, what I want to see for you for the next iPhone is a custom designed Han Solo holster. So you've got your iPad mini size iPhone slung low on your hip.
Well, let me tell you. Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
When I went to work for Apple the first time, my boss sat down with me early in the process, and he said, "Apple's going to issue you a mobile phone. Apple's going to pay for this mobile phone. You will carry this mobile phone with you everywhere. It will always be charged. When I call your number, you will answer within seconds. And no questions, done deal." And so ever since then, I sort of developed this philosophy. If you call my number, I'm going to answer. My wife, on the other hand, keeps her phone in her purse, and she sometimes doesn't even hear it ring. So calling my wife on her mobile phone is sometimes a hopeless affair. But if you call me on my iPhone, you'll get an answer. It'll be me. You know. So the only way to deal with that is to have it in a belt holster where when it rings, whoop, there it is.
Brian, we now have a new task, and that is to pick random times throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
Just call John.
Oh, yeah.
And I will answer.
Excellent.
And it's going to be things like, John, what you doing?
John.
Plus, when you get in the car or you're sitting at a restaurant, you know, you sit down, you know, you're going to bend the, you're going to put some stress on the phone. It's just, and then when you, and then
I carry my phone in my pocket, man. That's actually why I like a small device.
So when you have, I'm the same way.
A 5.5 inch phone in your pocket, it's going to be
Then people are going to know that I'm excited to be there.
Unwieldy and
but I know someone who carries an S4 around in their pocket. I mean, carrying that size device is in your pocket is doable for at least some people. Carrying anything that's larger, say, you know, like the Galaxy Note, and I don't think many people are carrying that in their pocket.
I bet you're right.
But, you know, one of the reasons why, if I didn't love my iPad so much, I would be a lot more interested in the 5.5 inch iPhone. I'd be orders of magnitude more interested. But I love my iPad, and I tend to have my iPad with me everywhere I go, and I'm comfortable having my iPad with me everywhere I go.
You know, I'm comfortable having my iPad pretty much everywhere too, and I carry it in a little bag. It's actually sort of like a mini courier bag that's from a backpack company called Osprey.
Yeah, and I have this incredible bag from Waterfield.
And Brian, I guess if we're going to be honest about what we're carrying, even though mine looks like backpacking gear and yours looks like a really cool Indiana Jones bag, we're probably at some point going to have to admit that they're man purses.
Oh yeah, they're totally man purses. Yeah. Completely and totally man purses.
But yours is totally appropriate for the Bay Area, and mine's totally appropriate for the Colorado Mountains.
That's true. It's totally true.
Yeah.
I'm completely different in that regard. My iPad Air tends to stay on the desk or move around the house a bit here and there. But I find myself grabbing my wife's iPad mini a lot when I watch TV, when I'm watching Wimbledon. You know, I'm looking at the Wimbledon app, checking out the draws and the scores or something like that. Or reading before I go to sleep, I find the iPad mini to be a lot more convenient to move around. Like the other day we had to go to the car dealer for some maintenance and grab the mini because it seemed to be the right thing to do to have, you know, to be easy to carry around.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, we are almost out of time, but I don't want to speculate on what's happening with Photos, the application that's replacing iPhoto and Aperture. So instead, since Apple gets to start with a clean slate, what I want to know is if there is one feature that Apple could add new to this app for you, what would that be? And I totally put you guys on the spot with this.
Yeah, by not naming either one of us.
Yeah. Okay, how about if I start so that it gives you guys a second to think about what you would want. And what I would want is a search feature where I could say, show me photos with trees or show me photos with cats. And then I could dynamically group my images based on the content that's in them beyond just faces.
I want proper integration with Photoshop. I want to be able to go back and forth between.
Oh, that's a really good feature.
Photos and Photoshop. Now you can kind of do that with Aperture now. You can do that with Aperture now, although it creates a new image in Aperture every time you do so, which I guess has its own pluses and minuses. But I want proper integration with Photoshop.
Oh, I would love that. Okay, John, how about you?
I'm probably going to sound like a Neanderthal throwback, but what I want is perfect integration with the Finder as my database instead of its own database. In other words, I want to be able to put all my photos in a single folder, arrange them the way I want, have my own Finder system, and then have photos extract from that non-destructively and set up its own non-destructive copy database so that whatever I do to my own file system is gets reflected in Photos, but I know that's not going to happen.
Probably. Yeah, although you could talk to Adobe about Lightroom. Because you can kind of do that. Yeah.
That ain't going to happen.
No. Yeah, I know. I know. But I can dream.
And that's okay. That's what makes you a hopeless romantic, John. It's your dream.
Brian, you're going to be famous for all time for that. I'll forget that.
Yeah. Well, I can think of a lot worse things for Brian to be famous about. And on that fun note, we need to wrap up.
All right.
So, John, thank you for joining me today. And Brian, thank you for joining me today.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I'll be sure to hug Brian.